Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and this is the Monday morning edition of The Cross in the Desert in the aftermath of one of the most incredible, senseless slaughters and massacre mass shootings in United States history. This past weekend was once again a demonstration of what radical Islamic terrorism looks like. And we've been used to seeing these scenes since San Bernardino, Paris, and many other locations all over the world. And this past weekend, we also had to say a very tearful goodbye to a beloved angel, a voice of an angel, the star of The Voice, the star of the YouTube music circuit, and I'm speaking, of course, of Christina Grimmie, shot and killed by Kevin Loebel because of her Christian faith. Over 50 gay people in the Pulse nightclub in Orlando were also targeted because of their senseless, because of their particular sexual orientation. It is a senseless slaughter of human life. It is a terrible blight against humanity that these things happen in our world. And I know that just like myself, you've spent the weekend asking why, hearing the numerous updates in the news reports glued to our television set, and maybe at times just having to walk away because it's just too much to bear. And so here we are again at the beginning of summer trying to heal, trying to make sense of these absolutely senseless tragedies. When a person's sexual orientation or faith is targeted, it becomes a hate crime. It becomes something that we must speak out against, and we must do something radical to prevent this in the future. And I'm certainly not referring to gun control. I am referring to taking very swift, decisive action against ISIS, destroying them, and doing everything in our power as a nation to keep radicals from coming to this country. Whatever we have to do, and I completely agree, with Donald Trump on this issue, because once again, this is evidence that what he is saying and what he is speaking out about is absolutely dead center, spot on. We have to do it. And again, 50 innocent lives in Orlando on Sunday morning, and one beautiful life again in Orlando on Saturday morning was snuffed out, and it's unacceptable. But today, what I want to do in light of everything that's happened is to find a way to have a very beautiful voice of hope to carry us through this tragedy. And I'm going to do that through Christina Grimmie by featuring her songs. She was one of a kind, very angelic in her voice, beautiful, beautiful person, a committed Christian. Kevin Lobel traveled from St. Petersburg to Orlando for one purpose, to kill her because she was a Christian. And that is what the Santa Monica Observer pointed out. It has become increasingly apparent to police from the gunman's cell phone and computer records that this beautiful singer was murdered because of her outspoken Christian beliefs. A little bit later on, I'm going to read the blog that she wrote just about a year ago. It is very, very powerful. It was about 3 years ago that Christina posted something just prophetic. She says, sometimes God allows terrible things to happen in your life, and you don't know why, but that doesn't mean you should stop trusting him. This twisted gunman who left insane rantings about her online, like Mark David Chapman, who was obsessed with John Lennon, Kevin Lobel, grew obsessed with Christina Grimmie and her Christian beliefs. Absolutely unacceptable. Standing outside, signing autographs after a very, very powerful concert at Plaza Live Theater, she was gunned down. But her voice will live on. And we're going to do that this morning. I want to start out my tribute to Christina in a song that is truly one of my favorites. This is called In Christ Alone, on the Cross in the Desert.
Hey guys, I'm going to be singing In Christ Alone, which is like one of my favorite songs ever, pretty much. So yeah, I hope you guys like it. I stay.
That is a beautiful rendition of In Christ Alone. I want to take some time right now to read word for word this very powerful blog that Christina wrote about a year and a couple of months before her senseless murder. I want to take the time to read this because it speaks very strongly and powerfully about her level of commitment to Jesus. And I want to read it to you because I think it's so relevant to her life, so relevant to what has happened, and it speaks very powerfully. So please bear with me. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think that once I finish, you'll be glad that I read it word for word. In the Western world, especially American civilization, when asking for a person's religious standing, the most common response you will encounter is simply, "I'm a Christian." Most people subtly just think to themselves, "Oh, okay, good, I was worried for a second." But as I have traveled to Israel recently, fervently prayed and studied scripture, and examined the culture around me, I have found that when someone says, "I'm a Christian," I should be more worried for their soul than if they said, "I'm an atheist." Before you stone me to death with your subconscious judgment, let me explain. If you will, come with me and explore what it should look like when a person claims Christianity. Come with me and let's take a look at the most overused word in the English language. What is this Christian stuff all about anyway? First things first, when did the word Christian even originate? The first known documentation of this word was in the early church. And it was a name that was given to the disciples because of how outspoken they were about their faith. It literally means follower of Christ. Oh, how far we have strayed from this. I could hardly think that most of us that claim to be Christians would be easily identified by those outside the faith. In America, we have forgotten what it means to literally be, quote, followers of Christ. Notice that Christianity is the only world religion that centers around a relationship rather than a set of rules. While others say this, or do that, or pray this prayer, or sacrifice this to ultimately find the truth and the light, Jesus says, "I am the truth and the light." While the numerous world religions rely on a set of guidelines to take them into eternal happiness, Christians rely on a person. We are saved by believing and knowing Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can save us. He is the only one that has taken our penalty. He is the bridge that allows us to be restored in spirit with God. But notice the word follow is a verb. Jesus was not merely calling us to accept a set of beliefs when he says, "Follow me." The apostles that were called Christians, that is, followers of Christ, were not given that name because they had a private faith in their heart about the truth of Christ. We must understand that if we really have a relationship with this Savior, that we will do what he has commanded us. I cannot fathom someone that truly knows Jesus, yet does not desire to obey all that he has commanded us. But frankly, we see millions and millions of these figures in America, and it is scary, very scary. A quick look at the Synoptic Gospels in the New Testament, and we find that Jesus was a very radical character. He reversed all kind of cultural trends and flipped modern-day religion on its head. One thing that is clear, however, is that he was careful to outline the things that should be important to anyone who would be his disciple. He commands his followers to give poor sacrificially, to care for the needy and the orphans and the widows. He says that we are to leave everything behind to follow him. He says we are to practice righteousness. And most of all, he says we are to make disciples of all nations. Now, let's not forget, Christianity is about a relationship, not a list of things to do. But when you truly love someone, you tend to do what they say. Well, maybe it's just me, but multitudes of people, many that I know personally, that call themselves followers of Christ, have no interest in taking heed to his commands. This can only mean that these people are not truly following Christ. Maybe they see Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card. Maybe they are afraid of leaving everything to follow Christ, and maybe they are scared of full surrender. Whatever the case, it saddens me to see scores of people supposedly clinging to the same faith that Jesus taught, yet completely compartmentalizing it and giving it no rein in their lives. Everywhere I turn in my country, Christians are shaping their faith to fit into their cultural preferences. Jesus has become an instrument of self-help instead of the all-powerful Savior of the world who deserves total surrender and adoration. Lip service is plenty. Life service is few. Western churches have now even started to promote the prosperity gospel, a false notion that if you have strong faith in God and do what he says, you will have material blessings. This theory is, in fact, almost the exact opposite of what we find in the New Testament church. I am not immune. I have recently uncovered areas in my life that I have refused to submit to the will of God and have found myself guilty of a somewhat casual association with Jesus. I have come to understand that lukewarm Christians don't exist. You either are in or out, are on board, or if you don't, come near the boat. Please, reader, I beg of you, don't conform to the lethargic lifestyles of many Western churches, and do not take my word for it. Go pick up the scriptures. Read the Gospels objectively with no cultural bias or preconceived notions. You might be surprised to find that Jesus is calling us to much more than church attendance. Well, people may take this the wrong way. Honestly, I hope this message does not come across the wrong way. But then again, I hope it does. I hope this radical call to following Christ offends people. That is exactly what it's supposed to do. With that said, I am not saying that every church in America is evil. I know of many churches that faithfully pursue truth and obedience no matter what the cost. But there are those that need to heed this message and change. We live in an age when we come away from experiences inspired but really never affect change. The time is now. On a final note, the people that may say, "This message doesn't apply to me, I'm on the right track," are the very people whose lives I fear for. Never become comfortable. We need to be awoken to the magnitude of the gospel every day. Where do we start? Let's do what Jesus says. Even if we lose our lives, there is nothing more important than following Jesus with everything that we are. Even if we lose our lives. If you read this, God is pursuing you. My fervent prayer is that we all may deeply know Jesus and know what he demands when he says, "Follow me." May our eyes be open to know exactly what it means when we say, "I am a Christian." I don't need to add a thing to that. Christina speaks even from the grave. And notice what she said here. Even if we lose our lives, There is nothing more important than following Jesus with everything that we are. God bless you, Christina, for an incredibly powerful message, an affirmation, an exhortation. And I don't know what to say to that. It's just incredibly powerful. Let's hear that beautiful voice of Christina now in a song entitled, I Bet You Don't Curse God, on the cross in the desert.
When the doctor calls with a stern voice and test results, and he asks you to come in right away, I bet you don't curse God when you're on the plane in a turbulence of pouring rain, and you're hoping that you'll make it out okay. Everybody cries, we've all faked a smile. When your back's against the wall and your hands are tied, there's pain, life hurts. There's a thousand things you think you don't deserve. All hope is lost. When you spend it all and you just can't beat the odds, I bet you don't curse God. I bet you don't curse God. I bet you don't curse God when your child is gone and they ain't picking up the phone. But it's 2 a.m. on a Saturday in July. I bet you don't curse God at your bottom line and your credit cards are all declined, and you don't know where you're gonna sleep tonight. Everybody cries, we've all faked a smile. When your back's against the wall and your hands are tied, don't curse God. Oh, I bet you don't curse God. I bet you don't curse God on your dying bed, about to take your one last breath, and you're holding on before you say goodnight.
Angelic voice of Christina Grimmie, a song that fits well with what we just read in her blog, being sharing this morning about the tragedy, the senseless slaughter in Orlando this past weekend with the 50 gays in the Pulse nightclub, as well as the beloved Christina Grimmie. And this is a tribute to them, to her. It's her voice in the midst of this tragedy that perhaps brings some hope and comfort to all of us. This next song, I'm just so glad that I was able to include this. Remember years ago, Elvis Presley sang a song called Can't Help Falling in Love with You. You've got to hear this version by Christina on the cross in the desert. Let's listen.
Wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't.
That is incredible. I just can't fathom just the talent this beautiful young lady had. She will be so sorely missed all over the world, but her voice and her beauty is going to live on. Let me read to you the one Christina Grimmie tweet everyone is sharing. As Christina Grimmie is mourned by those who knew her, one word keeps coming up again and again. Kind. Yes, she was talented and driven and beautiful, but look through her tweets and what's highlighted most, her charity work with the Humane Society and all of the times she made a fan's day. So it's no wonder that Blake Shelton and Rachel Platten recalled how sweet she was, and other musicians praised her caring and everyday kindness. T.J. Wilkins, another voice competitor, wrote, quote, "What I'll remember most about you is our conversation about faith and the love of Christ." That faith came out in Grimmie's own tweets, including this one from 2013, which her fans are sharing anew in the light of her tragic death. And I'll read it again because this tweet is just amassed many thousands of retweets. Quote, Sometimes God allows terrible things to happen in your life and you don't know why. But that doesn't mean you should stop trusting him. This is a tweet from February 21st, 2013, last count, and I know it's growing, it's had over 76,000 retweets. It really says it all. What a prophetic type of statement 3 years before her senseless murder. Well, this morning on the Cross in the Desert, we are reliving and remembering the horrible massacre in Orlando with the many gay Americans at the Pulse. Well, horrific. And we're also remembering and paying our respects and tributes to Christina Grimmie. Really, her voice in the midst of this tragedy is a beautiful voice of hope. One last song from her this morning. This is called Liar, Liar on the Cross in the Desert.
Can't see you anymore. Your image shut the door. Didn't know what I do or know now. The words have been betrayed. You respond to let them say. And I just won't let you bring me down. You can see what I know and I know.
Special tribute to Christina Grimmie this morning on the Cross in the Desert, the song called Liar, Liar. Before that, we heard Can't Help Falling in Love with You, an Elvis Presley classic, I Bet You Don't Curse God, and In Christ Alone. I realize that's only scratching the surface, but these are the songs I felt were very meaningful to you and me, and perhaps in the future we will have more songs featured by Christina. I want to mention I have a very, very good friend. Her name is Patricia Arrington, and she was in the midst of everything that happened this past weekend in Orlando. She actually describes being woke up in the middle of the night with helicopters above her home. And so our thoughts and prayers are with you, Christina. It was a bloodbath. It was a massacre. It was, you were in the middle of a terrorist attack, and I can understand how shaken you must be. And Patricia writes, I'm really mourning for all the families today. And she's thinking of others besides herself. That's my dear friend, Patricia. What a lovely, lovely person you are. And thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning. Right now, I want to shift gears with you, and I want to come to a very special interview I just recently did with Radio Arava, a very strong Persian-English radio station that Narges Ghaffari has in Ottawa, Canada. It's listened to by thousands of Iranians every day. She is a strong voice of hope and freedom. And just this past Wednesday, I sat down on Skype and had an interview with Narges about my book, Rehana. And I want to share that right with you right now. And this is Narges Ghaffari, Radio Arava, interviewing me about my book, Rehana, A Beautiful Sacrifice. Let's listen.
Today I'm speaking with Mr. Randy L. Noble, a Christian author who has written the first book about Rehana Jabbari, who was hanged by the Iranian regime on October of 2014 for defending her honor. The man who assaulted Rehana was Murtaza Sarbandi, an Iranian regime's agent. Good afternoon, Randy. Welcome back to Radio Irava.
Thank you so much, Narges. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure talking to you again. Randy, last time we spoke, you mentioned a book you were writing about, and it was about Rehana Jabbari. Now the book is published and it's available to public. I'd like you to tell our audience what the name of the book is and how's it going.
Well, thank you. The name of the book is Rehana, A Beautiful Fragrance, and I called it that because the meaning of her name in Persian refers to beauty, flowers, and fragrance, and I wanted to talk about her as a person and what she meant to me. It's doing really well. I'm so impressed. It's up on Amazon.com, and it's really literally going all over the world, Narges, in Australia and in Germany. I've had, you know, Iranians really touched by her life and really broken in spirit when they read about what she suffered. So it's getting out there and it's being well received.
Can you introduce Rehana to us briefly for those people who actually might not know about Rehana?
Well, Rehana was a 19-year-old student at university studying computer software. She was also working part-time at an advertising agency in Tehran. And she was very concentrated on achieving her goals. And Rehana one day met a man at an ice cream parlor that wanted her to redesign his surgery suite, and she agreed to that. Mm-hmm. To make a very long story short, because there's so much to this story, and she went to see his dwelling, his place where he lived, mm-hmm. and also the surgery suite, and what turned out to be a business meeting, turned out to be a rape. He tried to rape her, and Rehana was just devastated and did what any normal girl would do. She defended herself, and she picked up a knife and stabbed him in self-defense, but the Iranian government didn't see it that way. They didn't believe her story, and the tragic thing was she spent 7.5 years being tortured and interrogated to change her story, and she never did because it was true, and in the end, a year and a half ago, she was executed.
Randy, I understand that when you were writing your current book, Rehana, A Beautiful Fragrance, you talked to Shole Pakravan, Rehana's mother. I want you to explain to us about the time that you spoke to Shole Pakravan, I understand, through a translator, how she described her daughter and how you felt about that when she was talking about her.
Well, actually, Shole and her sister Shahzad and her other sister Shahri describe her all this way. She was such a positive role model. She would help anyone, very compassionate. That's what I try to convey in this book, is her character of compassion. What Shole shared with me was that her daughter was very independent-spirited. She was an achiever. But she also took the time to be so family-oriented. She took care of her sisters at any time they had a problem. And that's the way that Shole remembered Rehana, is that she would do anything to help anyone. And that's why she was so willing to help this Dr. Sarbandi when he asked her to redesign his surgery suite.
And how did you feel when Shole was talking about her daughter to you? You know, through translation, it's hard to catch all the feeling and the emotions.
I was just so touched by how of a giving person she was, and as she was speaking about it, what was going on inside of me is I really wish I could have met her and sat down and talked to her. Mm-hmm. She was just a unique Iranian girl. I was really touched. And the thing that came to my mind when she was talking to me was I want so much to convey as best as possible in this book who Rahane really was. Mm-hmm. We read all about what happened to her in prison. It's horrible and unacceptable. But in this book, I want to convey what she was as a person. And I feel like I've done that. I've recorded stories in this book about how other cellmates reacted to her as a giving, a compassionate person. So I feel like I have in some way accomplished that purpose.
As I said, your book is already published and it's on Amazon.com. People are buying this book. I'd like to know how readers are reacting to your book, Randy.
Well, one American reader, who's a friend of mine, said that her story, Rahane's story, has absolutely changed her life. That when I would keep her updated about the book, she was just in tears about what Rahane suffered through, and she absolutely recommended everyone read this, and I was really touched by that. One of my Iranian friends that has read the book said that it was very, very painful to read and that she would recommend it because people need to know about Rahane's story. And so I've had nothing but good feedback from those that have read it and those that know a little bit about Rahane's story. They're very happy, they say, that the first book to be written was written by an American. That really does make a difference to them.
And what were you hoping, Randy, to bring to readers?
One thing I wanted to bring to readers is Rahane's courage. Under pressure, she never changed her story. She had an opportunity to compromise, but she never did because she was telling the truth. They would tell her, just say he didn't rape you, and she refused to lie. What I'm trying to convey to readers is this is a very unique Iranian girl that is a representative of many Iranian women who have similar circumstances. My main purpose is to show her courage under pressure and the fact that she will not do anything to lie and to give in to the government, but that she wanted to make sure that this man who did this to her, that the truth would be out there. And so I talk about her courage a lot in the book.
As you mentioned, it's a systemic thing in Iran against women. It's not just Sarbandi, it's the whole government that is against the existence of women in Iran. I'm sure you remember there was another girl after Rehana was executed, Farinaz Khosravani, who jumped out of a hotel suite because she was actually being in the middle of being raped by two other agents of Iranian government.
Yes, and you know in this book, Nargis, I bring up certain cases that happened before Rehana. One was Atafi in Mecca, Iran, who was hanged. She had spent a lifetime being raped by a man, being sexually abused. And they, again, didn't believe her story, and in the end, they hung her. So I make sure that the readers in this book, who are maybe not Iranians, understand the culture that Rahane grew up in and what was against her already because of being a woman.
That's right. But Randy, what I'm getting from you, not on this interview, but the majority of your activities surrounding Iranian situation, is more than sympathy towards Rehana or Iranian women. Am I right?
It is more than that because I want to send a message on my Facebook page that these are real issues that we can do something about through petitions and through speaking out and praying. It's not just sympathy, and I talk about that in the book too. I want to see some changes, as I know many Iranians want to do, and we are doing it every day when we put up these petitions, we speak out. Because petitions do make a difference. So, yeah, it goes way beyond just feeling sorry.
Randy, I'd like to ask you if you can read a section of your book about Rehana's letter in prison. Can you choose one of the sections and read it to us, please?
Oh, I'd love to. It says right here in prison letter number one, I, Rehana Jabari, am 26 years old. With a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of, I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. And I say, when I first read that, Nargis, I knew I had to write her story. That last quote, perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I really have.
And where can people purchase your book, Randy?
Amazon.com is the primary way, and Amazon is all over Europe.
You can order
it anyway. Amazon.com is the primary place to go get that book.
Randy, I'd like to thank you for your time, for talking to me, and also for your activism, exposing the Iranian regime's true face. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure, Norm.
I want to once again thank Narges Ghaffari of Radio Arava for giving me that 10 minutes to talk about Rahane's book. And I want to also thank my dear friend Sonia Dixon in Australia, who had very nice things to say about the book as well. It is just a privilege and an honor to write this book. It's a privilege and an honor to be her voice and to hear what readers are saying. This is Sonia from Australia. She says, quote, "Rahane's story must be heard. This is her request that her voice be heard. Randy has worked tirelessly to speak on her behalf, so we get to feel the heart of this brave young woman. We see a life full of promises snatched, then thrown into a world of darkness, yet Rahane keeps her dignity, is a light to others, and in the end is the victor as she goes into the arms of the Heavenly Father. Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, is a must-read. She is indeed an inspiration." And so are you, dear Sonia. Thank you for your kind words and for being a voice. It's because of you that Rahane's voice is being heard all over the world. I have been sitting here listening to Christina Grimmie's powerful vocals, her songs, and then reading her blog and reflecting on everything that has happened this weekend and watching how the lives of many, many thousands of people, perhaps even millions, how these lives have been broken by this awful, awful tragedy. And trying to find the right words to reflect on something as massive as this is very, very difficult. But I go back to what Christina wrote in her blog about when bad things happen to us, tragedy comes, it doesn't mean we stop trusting God. And I have to say, that's the most tweeted, retweeted quote. I have to say, that may just indeed be the simple message for all of us. When tragedy just interrupts and descends in our life, that doesn't mean we stop trusting God. And that's what we have to do to be healed. And so I hear what Christina is saying. And in the blog I wrote this morning about following Jesus, I thought about this, and I've come to the conclusion that there's a reason for all of this. There's a very specific reason that these words from her are on this program this morning. And I think that somehow, if Christina was here, she might be saying kind of what I'm saying about following Jesus. And that's what I want to do in the last few minutes I have of this broadcast. I want to reiterate the cost of following Jesus. Christina knows this well. As a follower of Jesus, and she was using her God-given gifts and talents for his glory and was senselessly gunned down by a man who hates Christians. She paid the ultimate price of following Jesus. Maybe she wasn't, maybe perhaps on the mission field, if you will, but again, I think she was. Right here in the United States, where we're supposed to have a little bit of more freedom and protection, she gave her life in the service and the glory of God. Because who she was reflected in everything she did, in the songs she sang, in the relationships she had. Everything was centered around Jesus. And we can learn from her. And so this morning, in the last few minutes I have, I want to talk to you and tell you what Jesus said about being a follower of him. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of his holy angels." Verse 37. "And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus looked and said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another, he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him," listen to this, "'Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Notice that Jesus doesn't mince words. In those that request to follow him, he doesn't promise them great health and wealth and prosperity. In fact, he says, "It's very likely you will die for my cause." To those that would offer up excuses or, "Wait a minute, Lord," the indecisive ones, Jesus exposes their hearts. And he says, "Look, you know, I don't have a luxurious mansion, many cars and servants. I have no place to lay my head. You still want to follow me? Oh, but Lord, look, I got to, you know, get things straightened up at home. You know, things are happening home. Look, let that go. If you love your father and mother more than me, then you're not worthy to follow me," he says elsewhere. "Well, but wait a minute, Lord. Can I just say goodbye?" Well, Jesus exposes the indecisive heart, the heart that is kind of halfway lukewarm, as Christina said, committed. And there's so much of that all around us. The cost of following Jesus has always been a subject on this program. And today, this morning, we have a beautiful young talent reminding us, who admitted there was many issues in her own life that didn't conform to what she was teaching. And I think Christina was doing everything she could to not be hypocritical. But you know, all of us, no matter how sincere we are, we kind of fall into that category every once in a while. We don't always live by the things we teach. And you know, Christina and all of us, we share that failing. But nonetheless, she was very committed. And she's one more beautiful Christian that has lost their life in the service to God. And she really, truly did live by what she taught. And as I look back on her very brief life, and she was that candle, that light in the darkness, I think what's unique about her is her great fame and great success did not squelch or snuff out the flame of her faith. And as she pointed out, there's millions maybe like her that profess to follow Jesus, and the fame, the success, the money kind of takes preeminence, but not with Christina. That is tough, to be like she was and not to give in and compromise. That has to be tough. The pressures, the fame, and yet, if we take away anything from this beautiful young girl's short life, we take away the example that in spite of her success and fame, she did not back down from her faith. She did not compromise her faith. She stood up, and it's the very thing that was the result of her murder. That she stood up as bright as a candle in the darkness and on her Facebook and on her blog was able to say, this is who I am. This is who I believe in. And she should have every right, as every other American, to believe as she chooses without having to be targeted and killed. But we will remember Christina in this way, that she failed, that she fully lived up to who she was in Jesus. She gave her life for her faith, and that we will remember as long as we live. And Christina, you were a beautiful candle, a beautiful light in the darkness, reminding us that despite faith, despite fortune and fame and success, that one can still live up to the commitment to Jesus and still follow him and not allow those things to snuff out the light in the darkness of our culture. Really a tribute to who she was. Well, I want to thank all of you today for this very special tribute to the victims of the Orlando shootings and a special tribute to Christina Grimmie. I want to thank you for spending time with me this morning. I will see you very, very soon again on The Cross in the Desert. I want to leave you with just a beautiful vocal from Christina Grimmie. God bless you and have a great week.
Wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't help for